This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Thanks for listening to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. A House task force investigating the assassination attempts against Donald Trump this year has called on the Secret Service to make some changes, better communication, a smaller group of people it protects, and a change in who the organization reports to are among those priorities. Joining us with details now is CBS reporter Torian Small. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, great to be with you.
The report talks about some failures in planning, execution, leadership. What did the service get wrong, according to this report?
Yeah, quite a few things, and I think it was pretty instructive. The interviews that they included with some of the police department officials at the Butler County Township Department, as well as Secret Service agents, it was clear that there was a very significant and ultimately critical communication breakdown that happened between the agencies. There was one instance of a Butler Township patrolman spotting the would-be shooter before the incident happened, and he had communicated that to his team, radioed it in, but the task force said that there was no evidence that actually made it back to the Secret Service detail that was there for the former president. Another really interesting thing that was included in this report was a text message exchange between a few Secret Service agents. They had taken a picture of the shooter earlier in the day. They said that this guy appears to be lurking around the complex, but they didn't act on it. And ultimately, that agent that was interviewed as part of this text message exchange said that he had lost sight of the would-be shooter before the event happened.
How much responsibility does this report put on leadership compared to those individual agents?
Well, I think what was telegraphed here was the hearing that happened last week, that pretty explosive hearing that we saw Republican Congress members really launch a screaming attack or a screaming match with the acting Secret Service director. Ultimately, this report blamed this leadership on the top, which is why we also saw the resignation of the Secret Service director at that time. But they did point out some critical flaws in these agents and said this is pretty much unacceptable. I think, though, the line that the panel looked to toe was admonishing these individuals to too much because they also recognize that the agency is facing a staffing issue. And they want to encourage not just retention among rank and file right now, but also fostering an environment that would make more people want to join on as agents moving forward.
I think one of the interesting things about this report, Torian, was the discussion of how thin the Secret Service is actually spread, especially in light of those staffing issues you just mentioned. I don't know that a lot of us know how many people that the Secret Service protects.
Yeah, it was surprising to me in this report to learn that they're also tasked with securing foreign dignitaries. I didn't realize that their duty was outside of presidents, vice presidents, and former presidents and former vice presidents and their families, obviously. But yeah, it was pretty illuminating. And that's one issue that the panel brought up. They said it's probably time to evaluate where these priorities lie and other organizations, other agencies should probably pick up the slack in taking care of foreign dignitaries when they're in the U.S. And they should focus specifically on protective duties. They're also saying that it's probably time for them to peel back some of their non-protective duties. The Secret Service also looks into investigations of fraud. So they're saying the primary mission for this agency should be just being bodyguards, essentially, to these U.S. officials.
I know that even the committee looked at, you know, where the jurisdiction is over the Secret Service. What changes were recommended there as far as which department it would fall under?
And this change would probably have to happen via legislation Congress passes, which is why they recommended that the House Homeland Security panel really examine the pros of cons of removing the Secret Service away from the Department of Homeland Security. The biggest concern that they had is they think that they see instability in putting it under a department that would see a new head at least every 4 years. So they're saying without that central stability there from the top, and then a myriad of other issues, including funding, depending on who's in Congress, who has control, who has the power of the purse, the amount of money going toward that department, which would ultimately be trickled down to the agency, isn't too helpful either. And the Secret Service makes up about 3% of the Department of Homeland Security's budget. So they're saying it's time to potentially pursue exploring separating the two. That way they could have a focus on their own and not have to deal with maybe the partisanship that comes with leadership changes.
So what are the next steps? How or who will hold the Secret Service accountable to this report?
Well, I do want to mention, and this was brought up during the hearing last week, the agency has already taken significant steps to improve on some of the failures that they've acknowledged happened during the Butler assassination attempt. They've already beefed up their communication channels. They've also implemented aviation security details. So they've introduced drones when it comes to these public events. And they're also addressing staffing shortages as well. I think the House wants to take a more proactive approach in monitoring the advancement of the agency. So like this report outlines, there will be recommendations specifically targeting legislation that Congress should pursue and studies that House panels like the House Department or House Committee on Homeland Security to explore what would be the most effective steps to take moving forward.
CBS's Torian Small, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.